God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's been a slow start to this morning for me, I have to tell you, but I drank a big cup of tea and ate like four donut holes in between services, so I'm ready to go now. That sugar's kicking in, my eyes feel like they're open, so we're good to go. So get comfortable. Just kidding. So you ever had one of those conversations and you leave the conversation and you think to yourself, why did I tell that person that? I'm sure they didn't care and they probably didn't want to know. And you're just thinking, I don't know why it went there. And I had one of those conversations this week with our deacon, thankfully, so he's very forgiving. It happened Wednesday. We have a service in the chapel at noon and we were sitting in the sacristy afterward and just conversing about various things, which ended up me sharing this piece of my life that I really haven't thought about it so much. I'm aware of it, but it's a part of my history I won't bore you with it here today. But it, let's just say it left a bit of a mark on me. And so I shared that part of my history with him, and then we kind of went on our ways. He went back to do whatever Sim was telling him to do that day, and I went back to my office and thought, that was really weird. I don't know why we talked about that today. And we went to, I went to sitting down with this gospel. And there's a part of this gospel, we've all probably read it many times, and it has all these incredible Easter messages for us. And we just heard, of course, that we have this love of God, and we're supposed to love everybody, and we should love everybody fully, and forgive everybody. I said I would, but I'm going to have to work on it. So you can hold me accountable to that. So we keep hearing over and over, and of course we should, because this is still Easter, amen? And we're still in that season, and of course we live on this side of the cross, so we live perpetually, or until Jesus comes, in this time of grace, in this time of Easter. So we hear all those messages in here. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Amen? I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. We get to feel this love and the joy of Jesus Christ indwelling us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are moved and we can just love everyone and forgive everyone and continue to move through our lives and just experience the incredible gift that we've been given by Jesus Christ. And we how do you give that? This is my commandment, that you love one another, so I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then he says, you are my friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you. And what's he command us to do? Love one another. As he has loved us. Still sounds pretty warm and fuzzy. But I have to tell you, I got to verse 15. It says, I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I work on my sermons Friday morning at home. Used to do it over at either Panera or, I haven't been there so long, what's the bakery down? Moreno's. I don't know why, it just to be in the mix of the world was helpful. So now I sit alone primarily at my kitchen table, and Susan works in her office a few feet away. And as I read this, it just, that verse 15 just sunk into me. And sometimes I listen to music, apparently a little too loud, in my, I'd say my headphones, but it's really my hearing aids connected to my phone. And and in the midst of this moment, I'm just sort of there, and I get this brush on my shoulder, and it startled me. And it was my wife, so no, God didn't show up and touch my shoulder, but we were there together, God and I, and she was concerned because she could hear the music coming through my hearing aids. And it just kind of startled me out of this place where I was, because I just couldn't get past verse 15. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. And this is part, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. And I listened and I read and I looked and I contemplated, and I'm just sort of meditating on that concept. And he didn't say, I have told you everything the Father has told me. He said, I have made known to you. Known to you. That's different. That means something else completely to me. Made known to you. And I immediately went back to Wednesday afternoon and this conversation I had. See, because the conversation with Deacon Gary was me sharing a piece of my witness of my life, the life that was before I knew Christ and the life that is now that I know him. And discovering he knew me then when I didn't know him. And what he had pulled me from and guided me from and continues to do for me on a daily basis through the grace and mercy of his love. And I just made known to me. And I'm thinking, do we know what the Master's doing? Are we his friend? And he says we are. And I realized something of great importance to me, which I'm going to assume must be important to you, otherwise I'm wasting my time. The person who needs to know and hear your witness, the most important person to have that information is you. You must know your witness. You must know what it means. You must dig in to it. This understanding that you've had of God, whatever it may be. There was never a time in my life where I didn't believe that God existed. I always believed that. But there was certainly a time when I came to an understanding that God is real. This Jesus Christ truly is my Lord and Savior. The very Spirit of God indwells me. I had to come to that realization. I knew it. I could have told you all of those things. I could have said, let me say to you what I know from the Father. But I had this moment where everything sort of internalized for me. And now I can say, let me make known to you what he has made known to me. And the way that I know that is because of my very witness to his presence in my life. I know the love of God. I know the grace of God. I know the forgiveness that he has for me. I know that Jesus laid his life down for me, and I know I didn't deserve it. Amen? I know this. I don't understand it necessarily cognitively, but I know it. I can go through all the theology and I could lay all that out for you if you'd like, but I suspect you don't. I could probably even quote some Greek in there if you wanted, although I'll pronounce it wrong. But what I'm hearing in this passage today is he has made known to us what the Master is about, and therefore because we know, we are now friends. And because we are friends, we must know this for ourselves so that we can go and be a witness to the world, so the world can come to know also what it is we're talking about. Because it often just sounds mysterious, doesn't it? Do you believe in God? I believe in God. We're going to say that in a minute. Or five. We say these things. Our witness reflects on how we know these things. So the most important person to hear and know your witness is you. So I had this glorious moment going through the latter part of my week, and especially into Friday itself, where every thought I had was relating to the joy and understanding that I have in Jesus Christ. And that's primarily because I had this moment earlier in the week where I was reminded of what God has done for me. If you want to know what God is doing, you have to know what He has done. If you're going to go and bear fruit to the world, you have to know specifically what He has done for you. See, we think we're supposed to know this, and so we kind of get it into the depth of our soul, right? And then we go out into the world and we say, let's move it up here and we'll share what we know up here. And brothers and sisters, that's not where your transformation happened, is it? Is it? Did someone have an intellectual conversion to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. It would be for me. That could be limited capacity. But my conversion to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it happened here. And even more so, it happened in the parts of my life that would probably not be a good idea to share with you right now. But I would, but probably not now. That's where it happens. That's where He was made known to me, was in the depth of my soul. So if we want to know what God's doing, if we want to know what the Master is doing, if we as friends are now walking with Him in the full knowledge of what the plan is, we have to know what He has done here in each of us. Amen? And it's different, but the same. What He pulled us from, what He saved us from, is different. I know it's different for you because the primary thing He saved me from is me. I was my worst enemy. But thanks be to God, I'm not my worst enemy anymore, but I'm close. But that's where the change came. And I'd say the more important part is, do you know that for you? Because if we're going to move forward and continue to do all that He's called us to do, we need to know. It needs to be known to us, and that's where it happens. I had this wonderful opportunity to serve the Diocese of Southwest Florida for 7 years as a member of the Commission on Ministry. Now, some of you may know what that is. It's a gathering of people, essentially appointed by the bishop, to help others discern their call to ordained ministry. So over a seven-year period, I have talked to a lot of people trying to discern a call to ordained ministry. And I didn't have a lot to offer. I didn't feel I had a lot to offer. But by the time I finished, it helped me in my own understanding of my call. And I could sort of share my witness of understanding with others. So I would say to people, I said, after several years of being a priest and the ups and downs of what it means to be a perceived leader of a faith community, well, let's just say there's ups and downs. Some days are filled with great joy. Some days are filled with great sorrow. Some days are painless and some are painful. All glorious. And all to the glory of God. And with His help, I gain understanding in each step. I understand myself better. I understand His people better. I understand my call better. And the thing about it most is I had to get to a place of knowing the very core of my call. So I would say to those who were discerning their call as they were going forward, I said, you need to get down to the core. Keep it simple. There's another S there, but we didn't go that far. But just keep it simple, because there's going to be days when you don't know what to do, you won't know how to do it, and you don't know if you can do it. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Yeah, it sounds like life as a Christian, doesn't it? We see all that's happening around us. We see all that needs to happen. We see that which is of God if we're paying attention, but primarily we see that which what is not. And we have to get it simple. Otherwise, we get caught in all of the other stuff. Amen? All of the distractions, all that's going on, we can get just messed up in it. And I have to tell you, the way things were rolling at the 8 o'clock service, I was pretty sure that someone was trying to mess us up, and it wasn't of God. There were things going sideways every time we turned around. And it just happens sometimes. Technology, you know, we maybe shouldn't have put electricity in the church to start with. Might have been simpler. But so things will distract us is the point. We have to stay focused. And sometimes it can be so difficult as a Christian to walk in this world because of the distractions and because of the fact that we aren't really particularly accepted immediately, are we? People think there's something wrong with us if we proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ as in what they see as invisible God. I see him everywhere, and I see him in you as I stand here. But we need to stay focused. So here it is, brothers and sisters. This is why you have this crazy Episcopal priest who doesn't stand politely in the pulpit and who constantly stands here. This is almost amusing to me. I'm going to say it. I shouldn't, but I'm going to now. Do you know what people say most about my preaching? This is what concerns them. You carry a Bible when you're preaching? And I think, well, what else? But that's, I get that. You preach from the Bible? Well, I have to. You know why? I got nothing else. I don't have anything to offer. All I can do is stand here and say to you, I'm reading the Word of God, and this is what I'm getting from it. I could go read what everybody else got out of it, and I do, and that helps me, and I do all that work. But, you know, primarily, what's the Word of God saying? The living Word of God for us today, and I think it's saying is we got to pay attention. We got to get excited about it. I get excited about it. Now, my wife will find this very amusing, and because she knows me better than anyone. There's only one time ever in the week that I'm ever as excited as I am right now, and that's right now. Any other time, y'all just be sitting there, and there goes, Brian, okay, yeah, he's excited. Really? Is he happy? Yeah, he's happy. She's like, oh, this is excited. This is happy. This is sad. This is just the way he is. He's like this all the time. Until I do what I was appointed to do, which is to stand here and drive you nuts for, you know, 20 minutes or so on Sunday. But the fact of the matter is I get excited because I know the core, I know what is underneath all that God has pulled me from, and you know what it came down to? He saved my life. Period. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior who saved my life. That's it. I can give you all sorts of details as to how he's done that. I can show you and tell you about all the ways in which I was dying, but it all comes to one thing. He saved me. Amen? And this is the core of my ministry at such a level that I became aware and an understanding, just as you have, that that is the plan. Salvation is the plan. And it's known to me because I have been saved. My Baptist family just got very excited. But they already knew that. They could tell. So here's the second piece. He's appointed us to go. So how do I take that knowledge and use it to move forward, to step out, to be awkward, to be uncomfortable, to reach out to the world that's hurting, even when I have concerns that it may hurt me for doing it, and to do it anyway, because if the world and those that I am coming in contact with do not understand what it means to have their life saved and do not understand or know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are dying. Brothers and sisters, being a Christian isn't a self-help program that makes you feel good. It is indoctrination and an invitation into the body of Jesus Christ, the body that was laid down for you, my friends. And he says, come with me and lay your body down for your friends. Let me make it known to you so that you can go to the world, because without the knowledge of a Savior and the knowledge that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, who reconciles you to God, who is the way, the truth, and the light, who no one gets to the Father except through him, if you do not know, you are dying. It isn't just a nice thing being a Christian, although it is a nice thing. It is a call to go. A call to go. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That makes no sense, does it? Why would God choose me? I don't know why Susan chose me. But he did. And he chose you too. How do I know? Because you're sitting here. Or you're sitting out there. You're hearing what is being said because you are drawn to know more. He chose you. You didn't choose him. And it doesn't have to make sense, because he does the choosing. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. We're appointed, chosen and appointed. How we're chosen is revealed to us in our own witness. How we're appointed is going to look a lot like how you were chosen, by the way. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about getting it right. Don't worry about getting some story straight in your head. What you need to do is just open your heart like you did when he entered in and let someone else see it, so that they can see with their own heart that there is a place for them in this heart of Christ too. And you get to be the vehicle he uses. But we have to be open to it, and we have to be vulnerable, and we have to be, I don't know, maybe a little crazy to the world. But that's what it is. We can only know that when we know our story. And the people he puts in front of you are there because he chose them to be there. So you don't have to come up with anything you don't know. When God places somebody in front of you, they are there for you to minister to, for you to open your heart to, because something in your heart is going to speak to their heart. We don't have to try and figure out, well, what do I say? What do I do? Don't worry about it. Unless you think you chose, then you have a problem. But if he didn't choose you, and you know that, then you don't choose who you minister to. You minister to who he chooses to put in front of you. Amen? And you do that by opening your heart. I've read a lot of theology. And you know what it's done for my faith? It has strengthened it. It has given me deeper understanding. But you know what it didn't do? It didn't save me. It didn't convert me. Because prior to that moment, to be honest, it didn't even make sense to me. We're all in this journey together. We all have a place to walk with Christ in it. We all have the opportunity because he's chosen us. He is making known to us the plan so that we can go. In fact, he has appointed us to go and bear fruit. Friends, you have been chosen. You have been appointed. Go and bear much fruit to the glory of God. Amen.